Madam Grant, I'm thrilled to welcome Ray Dalio and Ariana Huffington to talk about Principles U. Let me start by saying, Ray, congratulations, just launched.
Yeah, and it's hot. It's great. A lot of people make good comments about it, so we're excited.
It's been exciting to see the buzz as people start to hold up a mirror and understand their own personalities and some of their colleagues' personalities, too. What have you liked most about creating Principles U compared to all the other personality assessments that you've done?
Well, I started about 25 years ago with all different tests, and each one of them gives a different dimension. We did Myers-Briggs and Enneagram and Workplace Inventory and a bunch, and they would all give a picture, and they were all enlightening in some ways, but I wanted to bring them all together or create a more complete picture, and then I turned to you. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I found over those 25 years that people understanding themselves, how they thought, helped their personal development. And I found that how they would understand each other through those various perspectives was important. And then we could build teams. And so I wanted to do that. I'm at a stage in my life where I just want to pass along the things that mattered most, helped me most. And so then I called you and Brian Little and John Golden, and here we go.
Well, I love that you wanted to make it freely available to anybody to take it and to also take it with their friends and colleagues and maybe even family members. I got such a kick out of taking this assessment that I helped to design because it opened my eyes to aspects of my personality that I had not seen before. And the combination of the rigor and then the practical insights for me has led to some great conversations already. And Ariana, you have gone through the assessment. I'm curious about what you saw and whether you've taken it to your team yet.
Absolutely. I love taking it. And not only have we taken it to my team at Thrive, but we use it with all candidates who make it to the front of the line. The two or three finalists that we normally have take the assessment. What I love is how unexpected it is. I don't think you can trick it because you're asked the question. Thank you, Adam, for being so ingenious here. You ask often the same question in so many different ways. And some of the key insights for me were the opportunity to show how much can you put things in perspective. Like, are you somebody who is overwhelmed by mistakes, who will do anything rather than risk making mistakes? Or are you somebody who sees mistakes as just part of the creative process and being willing to fail along the way? For me, that was one of the key insights. And you were asked that question again and again in many, many different ways, which I absolutely loved. Then the whole distinction between who is more comfortable with philosophical and abstract discussions or deliberations and who wants everything to be very hardcore, detailed, rigorous. And it's interesting here the differences between us. Adam, you are like absolutely rigorous. And I think Ray and I are more willing to be what some might describe head in the clouds. But knowing that among colleagues is so key. And also for me, it's knowing what do I need to help me to basically complement skills that I don't have as naturally, like being incredibly organized and detail-based. I wish I could show you my floor, which is strewn with papers, which I wish I had somebody here in my home in LA who could organize into files, but I've never taken the time to do that. So that was just another small insight that is key as you are building teams.
Well, Ray, one of the things that you brought to the table as we were building this assessment was not only the dimensions of personality we normally study, but also the ones that you've discovered are important through your experience building and running Bridgewater. And I know that one of the things you've done with Principles U is you've looked at your own strengths and said, just like Ariana's highlighting, well, how do I find people who are going to bring things that I lack? Any examples or stories stand out to bring that to life?
Well, I'm like Ariana. I hope we'll turn to our tests at some point. I'm like Ariana in terms of, the big picture and the conceptual and so on, and I'm disorganized. I create compensating mechanisms. But if I'm not working with somebody who even tells me, what comes next in my life and helps to be organized, I'm in trouble. And the kick that I've watched with these new ones that are coming out is how couples – in relationships are not only taking them themselves, but watching how when they put them in the process, so this machine has got these two profiles of them, and then I watch the conversations about what they're each like, and that's been a kick. So the relationships, yeah, as Ariana said it very well. We each see things in our own way and we're blind to the other ways. And once we realize that, then we can put together good teams and have complementary relationships. It's meant for us. It's been one of the big fundamental underpinnings of whatever success we've had.
Well, doing this in couples, I think this is the first assessment I've ever done where I don't want to slap a "don't try this at home" warning label on it. I think we should take a look at our scores. So Ariana, you were talking about how we're similar and different. Ray alluded to that as well. We actually have a comparison, which everyone should be able to see now. This is just a sample. So Principles U goes through 17 different traits. We've just drawn 5 here, and you can see Ariana with the purple background, Ray with the blue background, and me with the yellow background. I found this eye-opening looking at it. It was very affirming to find out that we're all creative people, which must be why we like hanging out together. But then some of these differences crystallize things that I have not understood when sometimes we've miscommunicated, sometimes we've had struggles collaborating, and I wanted to talk about a few of those. I have to start at the bottom. Am I going to be the only person making jokes today?
I fear so. I hope not. But you'll lead the way.
Yes, we'll try and catch up, but clearly we won't, Adam. You have such a lead on us.
You take yourself so seriously. I feel like I have to balance that out a little bit. No, I thought one of the most interesting differences here was in our tendencies to be deliberative. Ray, I think we've had so many discussions where I've said, look, here's what 25 or 30 years of randomized controlled experiments and longitudinal studies show. And you just say, well, that's not my intuition. And I've never understood why we disagree until I see this pattern. Tell me where you're coming from in those moments.
Well, as I've had also 25 years of putting people into jobs and matching them up. And there's an intuitive conceptualization where well, at least I feel it's not right. And that's why I find triangulating with you is such a great way. Our conversations were really, how do we get at the evidence of relative to the intuition? So, it's been that kind of perspective that it was fun. You would be very, very statistical. And while I wanted the statistics, when I was putting together groups, it just didn't seem to work that way.
Oh my God, I have to give you an example of that because Adam and I have the same differences and we have a mutual friend who lost her husband. And the way we dealt with her shows this. Adam would bring data to her and research that shows what percentage of widows went back and found love again and rebuilt their lives. And I would tell her, sweetheart, death doesn't really exist. There is an afterlife and we're all going to be together again. And it was like, she said we were at the two extremes of comforting her.
I kept wondering, okay, where's your evidence, Ariana? Tell me more. Like, show me your proof. But I think we balance each other out very well. And I think any time that modern science agrees with ancient Greek wisdom, we are onto something. Let's talk about being detailed and reliable, because you both scored very low on this. You both alluded to the fact that you're disorganized. And I never realized until now, you are two of the people that I hear from frequently or from your team saying, hey, can you get on a call later this afternoon? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I scheduled this afternoon 3.5 weeks ago. Tell me a little bit about how your lives are organized, because I think I've often struggled with that emergent challenge to adapt and flex when I have a plan.
Well, the way I do it is I sort of know a direction, and then the best way to describe it is, how am I organized? By others. You know, like I do not know what I'm going to do 2 hours, and there's somebody who gives me a nudge, or I look on the calendar. I just know the direction that I want to go in. So that's how it works for me. Ariana, what about you?
Well, that's really the key here. Once you know that about yourself, and it took me a while to learn this about myself and to accept that I needed support, that I needed what Ray called a compensating mechanism. Otherwise, I would be perpetually late and blame it on being Greek, which is, I'm trying to be humorous, guys, you know, to make up for the fact that according to this, I'm not.
Wait a minute, Ariana, hold on a second. According to this, you answered the questions. It's your own fault that you didn't score humorous.
But actually, I want to explain the humorous part, which is, I think that for me, it's like I love humor, but I don't feel a sense of responsibility to be funny and make people laugh. And I think, Adam, you're kinder and nicer, and you feel you want to bring people together more through humor, as opposed to, you know, if it happens, it happens, but it's not like a priority.
One thing I want to point out, though, because it's interesting about our differences and how we're compensating. When I first started this about 25 years ago, I gave it to, not this test, but I started with Myers-Briggs and then other tests. I gave it to 150 managers, and they described, I asked them to rate it, how does it describe them? And 85% of them rated it a 4 and a 5 at a scale of 1 to 5. Up until that point, they had a lot of problems with each other. Like the big picture thinker really got annoyed at the detail thinker, and the detail thinker got annoyed at the big picture thinker. Big picture thinker would say, oh, you get stumbled up in those things, you're not seeing the big picture. Detail thinker would say, your head's in the clouds, you don't know where you're going. And then we started to have an understanding. Oh, I see, you're one of those. And then I'm one of these. And then there began to have data. When we had the data and we could correlate it with how they would perform in different types of jobs and different kinds of rules, there was a greater understanding of each other, and the type of understanding that we're now talking about putting together a group or a partnership, that kind of understanding let us realize that we needed the other qualities in the group. And so that was only the point that we started to really realize how to put together teams and how to understand each other and then even communicate with each other differently. Because when we think differently, we have different sensitivities, or we're talking almost a different language. And when we understand the other person is speaking that kind of language, we can speak more clearly to them. So that's what we're going through now is we take for granted, but it didn't used to exist before we started to speak that language.
Well, Ray, one of the things that I thought the team did brilliantly was visualizing all these traits on a spectrum, right? I think so many personality tests give people a type and they get pigeonholed. And as Brian Little likes to say, not even pigeons like being in holes very much. being able to see the nuance here is really nice. I wanted to comment on extroversion briefly. I'm definitely the most introverted and also probably the only introvert in this conversation, according to the scores. And I know in an extroverted world, I've had to spend a lot of time learning to act out of character, stretch my comfort zone, and get comfortable on a TED stage or teaching classes even. I wondered if either of you find yourselves stretching in the other direction and whether you've had to learn more introverted modes in certain situations.
absolutely true for me. You know, like people will say, you know, shut up, stop talking, you know, leave space for others. I'm inclined to just dive in and talk, and I, too much so. So I have gotten a lot of feedback that way, and I have had to make compensating, and I've probably only gotten there a little bit. Ariana?
For me, it's been really getting comfortable with time by myself, meditating, sleeping, moments or hours of stillness. And what was amazing is that it is a learned skill. So in the same way, Adam, that you got more comfortable being extrovert, and I know many people would never guess that you were not intrinsically, I have gotten completely comfortable now with being an introvert in terms of actually even needing that time alone, refueling and renewing and recharging.
Well, I think this goes to one of the things that came out of the assessment is we don't just get to see our scores and compare them to each other, right? There are a bunch of insights and tips about what commonalities we might have, how we might be able to collaborate more effectively, and seeing this, you know, this simple advice, right, which I hadn't thought about. Oh, we need to balance out our intuitive and analytical tendencies. Some of us are more deliberative, some of us are less. We need to think a little bit about managing our energy together, right? The two of you might prefer more crowd time, more conversation time. I'm like, just let me think and write, please. Get out of here. Why are you people still here? I think those differences are extremely helpful. I want to open up some of the audience conversation now. We have questions coming in. If you do have questions, submit them, and I can see them in the Q&A tab. Let me start with a question that came in early on, which is, Ariana, how do you determine who's going to be good at organizing you? And Ray, you've had to figure this out too. Do you just give them the principles you assessment and you're done, or is there anything else you do to complete that picture?
Well, actually, the principles assessment is an amazing way to find out who is detail-oriented and make sure you don't put somebody in the job of organizing you who is like you. Because you can have a lot of fun together. And trust me, I made so many mistakes like that of hiring people I wanted to have dinner with. And that's a different skill set than hiring somebody who's going to organize my life and make sure that things get done. So that for me has been incredible. Another thing that I really want to stress is all the questions in the assessment around being comfortable with receiving critical feedback. And that is sort of a key question in terms of hiring, because compassionate directness is our number one cultural value at Thrive. And hiring people who are not comfortable with feedback is really one of the fastest ways to a toxic culture, because it means people don't give feedback, or they hide it, or they're passive aggressive, and resentments and disagreements fester.
Ray, how about you?
I couldn't say it better. That's exactly right. That's what the interviews, and then it's not definitive. It gets you right there, but the question and answers that come from that the assessments really confirm almost in, you know, 95% of the cases confirms what the person is like. And so it is so much better than job interviews. You know, you interview somebody and you know, you don't really know them at all. It's just scientific. So it is just as Ariana described. You can tell.
There is a fantastic question here from Andrea, who wants to know, is there any negative point in taking the test, like discovering my partner in business or marriage might not be the ideal person for me?
Ariana?
Well, I don't think so at all. Because if you, let's say, want to stay with your partner at work or in marriage, it's going to give you a roadmap for how to be with each other, understanding each other without judgment. Instead of our automatic response, which is to judge you, Adam, for being so detail-oriented and not wanting to plow ahead. And now that I know that, let's work together.
I've never seen anybody, and this is, I've done this with 10,000 people probably, I've never seen anybody not appreciate the understanding. Now, it'll raise questions, and but between people, that's a good path. Are you like that? What does it mean? How do we get along? Because it's the most fundamental thing of how do you get along. So I've never seen anybody not regret taking the test.
Yeah, and I think that if you're afraid of finding out that the person you're collaborating with or married to is, you know, is not the right person for you, you're sort of missing the point, right? The point is to understand them more clearly so that you can adapt to each other and try to build an effective relationship, not say, okay, you know what, our personalities don't match, we need a divorce. let's go to another question here, which is, this is from Albert, what's in Principles U 2.0? Where do you think it can be improved? Ray, I'll start with you on that one.
Well, I think that we're going to be dealing a lot more with interpersonal relations and then the collection of other data that's actually going to confirm it. So what will happen in 2.0 is that there's going to be evidence of the people around you and what they think about you so that you can triangulate that with actually what the test results are. Because if everybody's saying the same thing and the results are the same, well, you know that. And then what we're really excited about is creating a systematic way, really, of building the teams to know the nature of each person's job, the fit in that job, and then the relationships between those people and their jobs so that you can structurally have the computer help you build the teams. That's what we're excited about.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really exciting too. There's a question from Dan that I'll take quickly. The question is, why do we use a 7-point Likert type scale instead of 6? We have a psychometrician clearly on our hands. There's a lot of debate about the ideal scales. My view of the data is most personality traits are shaped like a bell curve. It's most common to be right in the center. So if you don't give people the middle option, then you're leaving out most of the people. Like on the introversion-extroversion scale, many of us are ambiverts, right? We're a little bit introverted, we're a little bit extroverted, we're very comfortable in the spotlight or also in the background. So wanted to make sure that was captured clearly. Let's go to another question from Asha Reeb. Knowing what you know now about your principal's U scores, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
I would tell my 20-year-old self that I needed support to get organized. And, you know, maybe when I was 20, I couldn't afford anybody to come and be with me to get me organized. But even knowing that I needed support, even if that support had to be from myself, would have been key in terms of avoiding the unnecessary stress of being disorganized. You know, being disorganized is unbelievably stressful.
Especially for me, when you dump your disorder on me. Thank you, Ariana. I love you so much.
I love you, Adam. You have a star in my book. And so, as you know, I'm very quick at responding to you. I never miss a call or a meeting with you. But the question is how to do that with everybody you interact with. And so if I knew that about myself, if I knew that I needed to support myself, I would have had a lot less stress in my 20s.
And Ray?
I tell the 20-year-old that life is a journey in which it's to discover oneself and then the corresponding fit. The fit in not only the people, but the job. And the quicker you can get to that self-discovery and self-acceptance and then find the fit for you, the better your life is going to be.
We have a great question here from Diana who wants to know what you do if logic or expertise says one thing and your intuition says another. And I would actually love to debate this a little bit, because I know Ray and I have very different answers to that question. And Ariana, maybe you can adjudicate here, although you're probably going to side with Ray.
She's a meditator. And because she's a meditator and I'm a meditator, she'll probably side with me.
Everything has to be about identity. You're creating an us versus them dichotomy. No, meditators, non-meditators.
You need to be more open-minded and hear what I have to say.
Are you telling me to think again? This is ironic.
Think again. There are two minds. There's a subliminal mind. And then there's an intellectual mind. And I think that either of them can be misleading. And when you align them so that they each check the other, then you're probably in good shape. And so I would say it can't be one and it can't be the other. And that meditation has the effect of allowing that alignment, because when you meditate, you go into your subliminal mind. And then it helps to achieve that alignment. So, Ariana, what do you think?
Yes, and I would say that I have collected a lot of data on this subject. And the data shows that when it comes to people, for example, hiring, friendships, whatever, my subliminal mind was always right. Like, you can look at somebody's, and this is just data through many, many, many years. Anytime I overruled my subliminal mind and said, yeah, no, you don't think this person is right for this job, but look at the resume. And look, you know, everybody else is giving them a strong yes, go for it. It didn't work.
Okay, so the social scientist in me wants to say you're sampling on the dependent variable. Of course, what's salient to you are the cases where you ignored your intuition and it was right. What about the times where you followed it and it was wrong? Are those as memorable? I have a few other maybe pieces to add to this. One is, Ray, I would say that meditation is something you do, not something you are. And I choose to meditate through exercise and through reading novels, and I think I get some of the same benefits, but we could have a longer conversation about that.
I was just meaning that the intuition comes from the subliminal mind, you know?
Got it.
And because it comes from the subliminal mind, forget how you do that. The question was aligning intuition with the logic. And I think if they're aligned, you have a comfort. And I think that if you can do that with also triangulation with other people, smart, otherwise people, you're probably getting to the right answer.
I think that's key, because I worry that too many people just trust their intuition instead of testing their intuition, right? And I've watched Blockbuster and BlackBerry and Kodak and Sears fall apart because people trusted their intuition as opposed to challenging it. So I think that's a nice way to reconcile our views.
Well. I think this is a larger conversation as to whether Blockbuster and BlackBerry and Sears failed because they trusted their intuition, or much more likely looked at the wrong data. So let's discuss that at another time over a glass of wine. But it's a little more complicated.
Fascinating.
Adam, you know about the other tools, and Ariana, you do too, like the dot collector. In other words, you like data, we like data. And so this is just really kind of a first step. I mean, it's a breakthrough step and it's an important step. But when we're getting the ongoing data of people and then we can build from that, that really is great. It's a rich picture. What do you think about that based on what you've seen, Adam? And of course, you've had a lot of contact with the dot collector too, Ariana. What do you think about the connection of using data to understand people?
Yeah, this is the sort of Principles U 2.0 step that I'm most excited about, is to say whatever scores you get on Principles U, that's your self-perception. And you have to triangulate that with other people's views of you, because they're going to see your blind spots. They're also going to see your bright spots, right? The strengths that you don't even know that you have. And I can't think of a better way to identify those than getting dotted regularly by people who interact with you every day and hold up that mirror. Ariana?
Yes, yeah, so we are practicing the dot collector at Thrive. And one of the hardest things, as Ray knows, for our teams to overcome was the idea that getting a red dot, you know, getting negative feedback is not just a data point, it's a judgment. It's like it's a stain on your record. So getting people to be more comfortable with critical feedback has been a challenge and incredibly important, though. And frankly, the more of that you get, the more it becomes like part of life and part of how we interact, and not like a big like performance review once a year that can be devastating.
Well, we're just about out of time. In closing, I want to ask you each, as people start to get their Principles U results or compare them with their teams, what's the one piece of advice you have for how to make use of that information effectively?
I would say triangulate with others, and then speaking to others about how you appear, and then just try to get in sync, accepting what you're like, and then appreciating others that you can work with and who can help you where you're weak.
And I would add, there is no better time to do it, because if there is one thing the pandemic has taught us, is the importance of building teams in our new hybrid world, with a combination of in-office and remote, is going to be harder and more important than ever. And having real data about how to best communicate with colleagues, with family, is going to be key, and this is an amazing way to do it. Thank you, Ray, and thank you, Adam, for bringing it to the world. I really am convinced this is going to make a huge difference in our lives and in the way we work.
Well, I'm thrilled to be part of it, and for anyone with us today who feels like they've been languishing during the pandemic, I can't think of a better jolt then getting some feedback on what you're like and then comparing notes with other people. It's a great conversation starter. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it teaches you something new. Ariana, Ray, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, and thank you, Ray, for making it free.
It's such a joy. Thank you.
Thank you all.